Okay, I think we're ready to begin. Our topic today is on time management. And, you know, this is something that took me a while to understand how to really take charge and take control of my time. But I found that it was so crucial because, as we all know, time marches by so quickly. And as Lee Iacocca says, he was president of Chrysler Corporation, if you want to make good use of your time, you've got to know what's most important and then give it all you've got. And that is so true, because every successful business, whether it be a department store, a manufacturer, a publisher, you name it, owes its success in part to using basic sound business principles. And your LeBri business really is no different. To make the most of your business means to make the most of your time and to make the most profit possible. Good time management equals higher profits. So really, by planning your time, you can concentrate on the important aspects of your business, which would be booking lessons, customer care calls, sharing the LeBri opportunity with others, and yet still have plenty of time for managing your business and for personal time, because that's important too. Time management means spending your time effectively. You can do many things efficiently, like quickly organizing your desk every day, but if you didn't book or hold lessons or you didn't do some activity that was moving you in the right direction towards your goals, well, then you really did not spend your time effectively. If I were to name one quality that was necessary for success in our business, direct selling, it would have to be good time management. How a consultant manages her time will make or break her. Everyone nowadays is busy. I mean, we hear this across the board. There are people that think they're busy that really aren't busy. And then there's some people who are genuinely really busy people. We hear it all the time. Yet it is interesting to observe how there are some consultants who are very successful in their businesses and they have full-time jobs, they're raising 3, 4, and even 5 children, they run a busy household, they're taking their kids to soccer games, hockey games, and they're very, very successful. And then there are others who have 1 or 2 children, they work a part-time job, and they just can't seem to make any headway. The difference, I would bet, is that the successful consultant has goals. She has a plan. She has a sense of urgency about getting things done and moving ahead. And that really is key, is having that sense of urgency about wanting to achieve your goals. Because I really believe and know from my own personal experience that you simply cannot stroll to a goal. We all have the same 24 hours in a day, and how you use that time determines your success. Goal setting, working in an organized manner, planning and setting priorities are the key elements in effective time management. The one thing that you can't get more of once you've wasted it is time. And time is our most valuable asset, yet we tend to waste it, we kill it, and we spend it rather than investing in it. Controlling your time begins with planning. Every work-related action you perform should take you closer to achieving your goals. These actions should also be prioritized according to the relative importance of your goals. When I am doing a task, I many times say to myself, is what I'm doing right now, is the action step that I'm taking right now, is it bringing me closer to my goals? And if not, I will stop doing it and I will go on to do something that will. Effective time management begins when you define your dreams and then set goals to achieve those dreams. I really believe that the more you want something, the more you will figure out a way to get it. Know for sure what your personal dream is. You have to know what it is that you want, because otherwise, why is it important to manage your time? Because it wouldn't matter then. So you have to ask yourself, you know, what are you striving for? Do you want to be a supervisor? Are you aiming to be an executive manager? Are you working the business part-time because you want to earn enough for a fabulous vacation? Do you want a new home? How long will it take, and what must you do to realize that goal? Decide what you want to achieve and give yourself a deadline. This is really where it starts with time management. Because if we don't know exactly what our reasons are for working, you know, why even bother worrying about time and setting an action plan and managing time effectively? It wouldn't matter at all if we didn't know what it is that we really wanted to achieve. So I feel it's very important to set daily goals. What will it take for you to reach your long-term goals? How many people do you have to talk to book the number of lessons you need to hold in order to reach your goal? So you have to be specific, and you have to set goals that are challenging and achievable as well. And they have to be daily goals. Write down your goals, set a daily schedule, and then really stick to it. And then include family time, recreation time, along with your business appointments and activities. And it's important, too, to review your goals daily. There are people that will set goals, they write them on a piece of paper, they have all the best intentions, and then they take that sheet of paper or that goal sheet and they stuff it in a drawer somewhere. And they never look at it again for months. Well, that is not someone who is serious about achieving their goals, because you have to keep those goals in front of you. You have to evaluate your progress and ask yourself what you can do differently if you aren't meeting those daily goals. Now, once your goals are clearly outlined, you know what you need to accomplish each day to ultimately reach those short and long-term goals. It's important, I think anyway, to realize that if you don't set goals for yourself, if you don't have goals, you will be used by those people who do have goals. I remember when I heard that the first time, that if you don't set goals, you will be used by those people who do have goals, I thought, geez, how true is that? Because if you don't have a direction that you're headed in, anyone can come along and distract you off the path because you don't have a solid plan in place. So a good way to start taking control of your time in your business is to establish a work area in your home for your LeBri business, a place where you can make phone calls and keep supplies and records. It doesn't have to be a large area. You're going to want a desk, a table, an accordion file to hold forms and other pieces of literature. You need to have some proper storage, and of course organization of your tools and supplies is important. So have a place for everything. You know, I'm sure we've all had one of these days, but let's say it's a Saturday and it's a day when you got up in the morning and you didn't have a single thing planned for the day. You drift from one thing to another, and by the end of the day you realize you haven't accomplished a thing. You feel empty. I know myself, I don't have days like that anymore, but when I think back, I'd feel like, oh, you know, I was depressed, I got frustrated, I felt like I've wasted a day that I would never get a chance to relive. You just drifted through a whole entire day. Some people drift through a week, some a month, a year, and then there are those that even drift through days like that over a course of a lifetime. But those same people, they may do a great job planning their vacations. Suppose your husband comes home from work one day and he says, hey, honey, I have 2 weeks vacation starting September 1st. All of a sudden, now you've got some plans. You're excited. Okay, where should we go? How are we going to get there? Where are we going to stay? What kind of clothes do we bring? Every little detail is worked out. Then on September 1st, you drive out of the driveway to the airport and you know exactly what you're going to do. As a result, you end up having a successful trip. But then what happens when you get home? You get back in that same old routine. You get up in the morning, hurry off to the same old job, come home in the evening with nothing planned, watch TV, and then go to bed. And the next day, the same thing happens. It's the same old pattern. So by the end of the week, nothing's changed. And you're right back to where you were on Monday. And then at the end of the month and at the end of the year, you're just where you were a year ago. So without goals, you can waste your whole life with nothing to show for it but a feeling of frustration and dissatisfaction. If you have things to achieve, you have to experience things that you want to experience in your lifetime. You have to have a plan, and you have to be careful on how you use your time. So the first thing is knowing what you want and setting some goals for yourself. Have a place to work. Find a place in your home. Get it organized. Doesn't have to be a big room. I remember when I started out in the business, I had a little den in my home, and I turned it into one corner of it. I just got a table, and I had a file cabinet, and it was very small, but boy, it sure was efficient. Then you need to determine how you are currently using your time. And one way to do this is to keep a record of your daily activities for just 1 week. That's all you have to do this for, is just 1 week. You'll begin to see where you are losing valuable time and how you can better use your time. Even though you might feel that you are an efficient person, you're going to find new ways to really improve this efficiency if you'll make a periodic check on how you really do spend your time. I do this maybe twice a year, and I do it for about 3-4 days. And because sometimes, you know, you get caught up in life and you're doing this and that and the other thing, and I'm thinking, okay, what am I really accomplishing? And I do this to keep myself in check. And I'll tell you, it's a real eye-opener as to how much time could have been used much more effectively. I think it's important, too, to establish a routine and really discipline yourself. That's the hard one, disciplining yourself. Habits are 3 times as hard to break as they are to establish. You need to set aside time that you're going to spend in the development of your business. With a plan, if you have a plan, you can act. Now, without a plan, then you can only react. One thing that helped me immensely to take control of my time and to help me accomplish my goals is that I learned all about list making. And let me tell you, I bucked that system for a while, but I found that it was the only thing that really, it made the biggest difference in my entire life, not just my career. And to this day, I am a master list maker. I found that to make each day more productive and satisfying, making lists is a must. So early on in my career, I heard a motivational speaker tell a story that really made a lasting impression on me. His subject was on time management. The story involved a gentleman by the name of Ivy Lee, and at the time, he was, in that day, he was a leading what they call efficiency management expert. And it also involved a man by the name of Charles Schwab, and I'm sure you've all heard about, you've heard that name before. At the time, Charles Schwab was the president of a company called Bethlehem Steel, which was a very small company. And Ivy Lee called on Mr. Schwab and said that he'd be able to help him increase his sales and efficiency if he could just spend 15 minutes with each of his executives. So Schwab said, okay, you know, what will this cost me? And Ivy said, nothing, nothing unless it works. In 3 months, Ivy said, if you can send me a check for whatever you think it's worth to you. Fair enough, and Schwab said, well, sure. So he thought it was. So Ivy Lee spent 15 minutes with each one of Schwab's executives. And the only thing that he did was he asked each executive to promise that for the next 3 months, before he left his desk at the end of the day, he would make a list of the 6 most important things that he had to do the next day and then number them in order of their importance. Each morning, you know, they would begin with the first item on your list, he told them, and then scratch it off when it was finished. So, you know, make a list of the 6 most important things, prioritize them, and then work your way right down the list. If you don't get something done, he said, then that would go on the next day's list. At the end of the 3-month period, efficiency in sales had increased to such a degree that Schwab ended up sending Mr. Lee a check for $35,000. Now, that's a true story. And I was really, when I heard that, I got excited, and I was really impressed. So I became this list maker. And to this day, which is now I've been doing this for close to, you know, 20-some years, making lists, I just find that you get so much more done than if you just go running around in any old direction, which is what I used to do. You know, I'd start this project and get interrupted, and then head off in the direction and do another project and get interrupted. So I had 4 things started but not finished, and then I found myself getting frustrated and angry and not accomplishing much of anything because I had all these loose ends all the time. So what I really appreciate most is that this list of 6 most important things keeps me from getting off track. And, you know, for us women, to get off, it's easy to get off track because there are just so many things that need to be done. And, I mean, that's at least what we think. But sometimes I think, well, do we actually have to get all this done? Are they the most important things that we could be doing? Or can they wait while something more important gets done? And I think it's important that we don't mistake movement for achievement, because that's what I used to do. I was always busy doing nothing and not accomplishing nothing. And I realized that I was busy, but it wasn't doing the right things. It's easy to get faked out by being busy. So always ask yourself, you know, what are you busy doing? Sometimes when you're tired in the evening, it's tempting to just run over tomorrow's list in your head. But I found it's essential to write it down. So I write things down on my list as soon as they come to mind. Otherwise, I find myself running around saying, now, what was I going to write on my list? And so once it's on paper, it gets programmed into your subconscious. It's important to have the list, you know, either at your bedside table, in the kitchen, put it on your desk, but somewhere that you're going to see that list first thing in the morning. And then, of course, you have to stick to that list. Don't let yourself get sidetracked by other things. So often you'll notice something like, oh, I really have to clean out this closet. And this can be somewhat of a challenge when you work from your home, and I've been there, because sometimes you get up in the morning and you might open your linen closet and you say, oh, I really need to clean this out, or you get busy thinking you're going to get started on your list and you start cleaning because you see a crumb in the corner in the kitchen floor, and you get sidetracked. And even when you work from your home, if this is something that you're doing, you know, while working around your family, and some of you I know have part-time jobs, full-time jobs, but if you are working from your home, you have to really set time to do those things specifically. You know, set a day and say, okay, this is my cleaning day. But on days that you have your outline for your business, you don't want to stop and say, okay, I'm just going to clean out this closet real quick. It'll only take me a minute, because I'll tell you, it won't take you a few minutes. You're going to find that you're going to get more involved and more involved. So you can't allow yourself to get off track if you're really serious about achieving your goals. I also found that it's important to limit your list to those 6 items. Don't go overboard, because I used to do that too. I thought, well, you know, if I got 6 done pretty good, let's shoot for 15. And then I got very overwhelmed, because once you look at those things on the list and there's 15 things, you're going to say to yourself, I can't possibly do all this. And then you get overwhelmed and you end up not getting anything done at all. So I find if you accomplish those 6 things, you've accomplished a lot, and be happy with that. The other thing that I was told early in my career to help me make the most advantage of the time that I have was to hire a housekeeper as soon as I could afford one. Now, to many women, a housekeeper may sound like an extravagance, and I know it did to me, and it took a while for me to feel comfortable with the idea of having a housekeeper. What I found was that you can't afford not to have a housekeeper, and it's a wonderful goal to shoot for. Having a housekeeper is the best thing that a woman can do to free up her time. You must always remember that your time is the most important thing that you have, and you've got to make it count. If you lose money, you can always find a way to earn money back. If you lose time, there is no way to get it back. It's gone. It's gone forever. There are people where you live who'll be happy to become your housekeeper. They need a job. So one of my first goals as a young consultant starting out in the business was to hire a housekeeper. And I've employed one since the age of 25. And yes, it's been one of the best decisions I could have ever made. I would rather earn the money to pay for a housekeeper and not spend my nights and hours on the weekends playing catch-up. Because, again, each of us has just 24 hours every day. And, of course, it's what we do with our 24 hours that will make the difference. Another tool that's so important in helping you take control of your time is our open date calendar. Now, the purpose, if you're already using the open date calendar, you know what an outstanding tool that is. The purpose of the open date calendar is to help you plan and organize your time. The open date calendar gives you control of your days. You won't end up booking lessons on days that you had commitments with your families, and then you won't waste a day by not booking a lesson because you couldn't remember if you had something going on that day or not. So it helps you look at the days and the weeks ahead. And the important thing about your open date calendar is to really, in the beginning of the month, or right at the very end of the month, you know, look at the following month and say, okay, now, what activities do we have this month? You know, where are there weddings? Where do we have children's activities? You know, gymnastics, whatever. And you put that on your in your appointment book. You don't put those dates on your open date calendar. And after you've logged all the time required for family commitments, anything else that's going on personally in your life, then you look to see what days you have left that would be open for lessons, and then those are the days that you would highlight on your open date calendar. So when you go to lessons, or if you're on the phone booking lessons, all you have to do is look at one calendar, which is your open date calendar, and say, okay, you know, I've got the 4th, the 17th, the 23rd, and the 27th open for lessons this month. You're never having to stress yourself out trying to remember, okay, what's going on when. You'll look at that open date calendar and you'll immediately recognize those dates that you have available. It saves a lot of frustration, a lot of stress, and even booking date night. That was something that I always did with my husband. We had at least two evenings a month that we did a date night, whether it be dinner and a movie, but those were our nights, and that was on my appointment book, so nothing could interfere. I planned ahead to have a sitter for my little guy at the time, and that was our special night. But I found that the more I set a schedule for myself, the more I knew what was going on in the months that was coming up. There were less surprises, and I definitely was under a lot of less stress, because it just helps you look at the days and the weeks ahead. The other thing that I've learned to do from my husband Brian is I learned how to work with timers, kitchen timers of all things. And what I like to do, and at work too, we have timers, is if we have a project that we're doing, we might have something that we're doing on the printing machine, or we might have a call to make. I might have a conference call with someone at 10 o'clock in the morning, and at 10:45 I have another call. So what I'll do is I will set my timer for 10:45. So if I'm talking with someone and the phone call gets a little bit more extended, then I'll hear my timer go off and I say, oh, geez, Mary, I've got to run. I've got another call. Because sometimes, you know what happens, you get a little long-winded and you start talking about other things. And as you know, time goes by so quickly, you don't want to be late for your next call. Even here at home, we run timers. If we have sprinklers on, if we're cooking something on the stove, the wash machine has its own timer. But there will be timers that go off throughout the day saying, okay, I'm done, turn me off, turn me on. And it works. It really keeps things flowing efficiently, and we get so much more done when we use our timers. I know some people that know us have heard our timers going off in the background, and they think it's kind of humorous, and it is, but it actually makes a big difference. So set a timer and allow yourself only the time allotted to complete a particular job. And again, it helps you multitask more efficiently. You'll find that it takes as much time to finish a job as you have allotted. Now, there's some time wasters. And one of the things that I learned is that when I went to a lesson, I made it a point to map out where I was going. Always get good directions so that you won't waste time getting lost, and you know, just being on time is such a must. There are distractions. Distractions are huge time wasters, and you're going to get more distractions if you don't make your list, because if you don't have a list of importance, that's what I call it, my list of importance, if you don't set your priorities, any little thing that could possibly happen during the course of a day will set you off. For example, one of them are phone calls from family and friends. You may have an evening that you have decided that you've allotted the time to set aside for customer care calls. And you've scheduled to do this from 6:30 to 8:30 in the evening. And then lo and behold, at 6:45, a neighbor, a relative, a brother or sister, somebody pops in. You know, hi, how you doing, da da da. And you know that you have allotted 2 hours to do your care calls because you're working on goals for the future. Your family and friends have to know that you're working. Sometimes when you say to people, I have a lesson, they don't consider that a job. So instead of saying you have a lesson, you might want to consider saying, I've got to go to work. I have a job. Because it's important that they know you are working. It's just not the typical conventional 9-to-5 type of a job. So it's just like you wouldn't consider dropping in at your relatives or neighbor's place of employment during the day to chat with them, would you? So they have to be just as courteous with you. Or during the day, you might have, you might be wanting to clean out that closet. Let's say that was one of the priorities for the day. And all of a sudden the phone rings and it's someone that you know is long-winded and talks and talks and talks and talks. Best thing to do, that's what I love about caller ID and answering machines, is you don't have to get the phone. You can call them back at your convenience. And I think it's real important to monitor the time that you spend on the telephone with people. Because, again, it's that perfect example of what we said earlier about having goals. If you don't have goals for yourself for that day, if you don't have priorities, then you're going to be used by someone else who does. And it might be something as innocent as just taking up some of your time by chatting with you on the telephone that's not going to help bring you anywhere closer to what you want accomplished. Jim Rohn, who I just love a lot of his quotes, he's one of our the world's premier business philosophers, he says, learn how to say no. Don't let your mouth overload your back. I love that. Another big time waster is procrastination. That's a biggie. Everyone tends to procrastinate on certain things, and these are usually the important things. For instance, I'll give you an example. I have found that some of our consultants put off doing their customer care calls. A few days after a sale, the consultant is supposed to call her customer to make sure she's happy with her purchase. She's supposed to ask, how are you enjoying your Libri skincare? Are you getting great results? Do you have any questions? Now, keep in mind that this is strictly a customer care service call, and it lets the customer know that we care about her. The call gives the consultant a chance to find out if the customer is happy with her cosmetics. In some cases, a customer has to be reprogrammed or instructed again on how to use the product, because remember, at a lesson, she's learning a lot, and she's not always going to remember everything. Now, on rare occasions, a consultant may need to switch an item and exchange it for another formula, or maybe she has a problem skin and you might have to be, you know, help her through a skin correction. But whatever the case, we're always far better off knowing that a customer is unhappy and then doing something about it at once versus just letting the customer sit there for weeks and weeks without any connection from you. So in my book, customer care calls should be right at the top of a consultant's list of important things to do. But this happens to be one of those things that consultants tend to procrastinate about because sometimes they're afraid of rejection. They fear that someone will say something like, well, I don't have time to talk with you, or I'm breaking out. And this fear just is not realistic. If you want future repeat business and the easy money that can flow into your household through reorders, customer service calls are just a huge priority. Once you have a customer, hey, the hard part is over, and now all you have to do is just service her and keep her happy. So often it is true that we procrastinate about something because of fear of rejection, when the death of fear is in doing what you fear to do. So if you know that you tend to procrastinate, that was just one example, but if you know that you tend to procrastinate, then you need to work through that. And I know, because I was one of the world's greatest procrastinators at one point in my life, and I realized what I was doing to myself. I was hurting me, and I was hurting me terribly. So one of the things that I started to do was reading books on how to overcome procrastination, and I procrastinated because of fear, because, you know, it's safer not to do it. You know, I'm going to stay in my little zone here because it's safe back here, but you can't grow if you stay there. And procrastination is a huge time stealer. So one great book on the subject is written by Tanya Grimes, and it's called 7 Simple Steps to End Procrastination, and that book can be ordered right off of the Libri supply sheet at a discount. Now, there are a whole lot of other good books written on the subject, but the main thing is to recognize what is your biggest time obstacle and then work on a plan to eliminate it. Now, there are many areas in life where you can save time and accomplish more. So some of the things I want to just share with you, some of the things that I do in order to save myself time and stress. We already talked about making that daily list. And I like to make it either the last thing at night or the very first thing in the morning, pretty much about the same time I pour my first cup of coffee. Making that list helps me stay organized, it sets my priorities for the day, and most importantly, it keeps me on track throughout the day. So making that list is so important. Another thing that's important is to learn that to finish one task before getting involved in another, or at least stop at a natural stopping point. You know, try to bring closure or break down larger tasks into smaller ones so that you can work on it a little at a time, but you're still making progress. That's the main thing, as long as you're moving forward and you're making progress. The other thing I learned to do is to consolidate my errands. Make one shopping trip, you know, to go to the drugstore, the grocery store, the dry cleaners, instead of, you know, four, five, six different trips. I learned to organize a route that would get me to hit all these major stops, and I avoided all the backtracking. And I keep an ongoing list of supplies that I need to eliminate repeat trips for forgotten items. One thing I've learned to do is I buy extras of everything. When I'm out of toothpaste, I buy two tubes of toothpaste, two tubes of dental floss. When I buy pantyhose, I buy them in, usually I buy six or eight pairs at one time. But I've just learned that, yeah, you're spending a little more money initially, but in the long run, you're saving money because you're saving time, and time is money. I really believe that. I also learned that I try to clump similar tasks together, and I try to do them all at one time. It's far more important and more efficient to make phone calls all at one time than to work on all correspondence and, you know, do this and do that and jump around. So I just try to do everything. If I'm doing emails, I take care of all my emails. I don't look at my emails and just do, oh, I'm going to pick this one, I'll get to these other people later. I get them all done. If I have cards I need to write, I'll work and get that out of the way so I don't ever have to think about it again. So I clump similar tasks together, and I do them all at one time. I also find that the more organized I am in my living and workspaces, the happier I am. Disorganized space is not just inefficient. I find for me it is just totally psychologically exhausting. So I pick one area to organize every day for a month. And if you find that right now you've got a lot of clutter and you're just not organized, just pick one area to organize every day for a month. Now, don't make this your main project of the month because you still need to be, you know, moving forward in other areas, but just one area. Start with the area that bothers you the most, or if disorganization doesn't seem to bother you, then start, you know, in a spot where you spend most of your time. Because if you have clutter, and they've proven this, there's been studies that have shown if there's a lot of clutter, it's going to clutter your mind, and it creates havoc in the mind because wherever you look, there's clutter. The other thing I've learned to do is listen to tapes in my car. I find that I turn my automobile into a classroom. Instead of being stressed out by traffic, I'd rather engage my brain. So I learn, you know, you can learn another language if you want. You can improve your sales. You can listen to business and management tapes. You can master the latest strategies for success just by listening to tapes while you're driving in your car. The other thing is I always utilize waiting time. I always keep a book with me that I'm either reading or been wanting to read, and I keep it in my car so that I can make a good use of the time when I'm at the dentist's office. And I recently just had some work done, and I had to wait 25 minutes because they were so busy. Well, instead of sitting there, I had my book, and I was able to invest some wonderful reading time. The other thing I think is important is to schedule your recreation time. And it's important to have nothing time. Those who work harder on the job than they do on themselves tend to burn out. So you have to have some balance in your life, and you're going to find that by making lists and putting everything on schedules that you're going to be a happier person. So always pencil in some time for yourself. The other thing I learned to do is I learned how to navigate in my city better. I would work on trying to find a new and better route to get to places faster. And it truly, it saves you time every year, because the better you know your city, and, you know, there's always shorter cuts or shorter roads. I think that's smart, because the less time you spend in traffic, the more time you have for yourself. I also controlled my television time. And I think that that's important because someone once said to me, if you watch a lot of TV, what you're really doing is you're just watching other people work and achieve and accomplish their dreams and goals. So someone said to me once years ago, shoot your TV. Well, I don't want to shoot my TV because there are some programs I enjoy, but I'm careful with how much time I choose to sit in front of the television. And again, I ask myself, is sitting here tonight really helping me accomplish my goals? Or maybe I'm better off reading a book on procrastination or something like that. Reading the newspaper. The other thing I learned to do with that is I don't have time to read the newspaper from start to finish. And a lot of things you read, they don't matter anyway. So I learned that just read the first sentence of newspaper paragraphs. And this is really a common practice of many successful people. The most important news is usually summed up in the first sentence of each paragraph anyway. So again, you're saving yourself a lot of time. Another thing that may help you, I know it makes a big difference for me, is I shop for gifts all year round, and I have started what I call my gift closet. So whenever I see something nice for someone I know, you know, maybe it's on sale, I might pick up a few of them, and I'll always have an appropriate gift. I just started doing this about 2 years ago, and it really has made a difference because sometimes at the last minute I'll have something in my gift closet that sure comes in handy. Another thing that I think is important, don't let clutter accumulate. Clean as you go. I've gotten much better about my junk drawers. I don't let things pile up in them because, again, clutter is distorting to the mind. A biggie that I learned to save on time and accomplish more was to avoid people who drain you. Oh, this is so important. It's good to invest time in people, but there are certain individuals who, you know, they literally just suck the life right out of you. They exhaust you. So make sure you know who those people are in your life and limit your exposure to them because it's not healthy for you. I think it's important to exercise for energy. I have found that when I exercise, I definitely have more energy and I accomplish a whole lot more. So I make time for exercise 5 days a week. I also work on eating right. I like to eat a variety of foods, and some of it's not good, but I do eat a big amount of nutritious foods, and I resist the temptation to overeat most of the time anyway. Another thing I think that's really helpful to grow and to accomplish more is to study the habits of productive people. You don't need to reinvent the wheel. Just do what successful people do. Observe them and imitate the time management experts around you. There's so many wonderful books, too, on time management. And if you have not read one, I'm going to encourage you to do that. The other thing I find, too, is learn to say no. I, at one time in my life, I could never say no to anybody. And, you know, we're not superwomen. And there is a limit to your energy and ability to accomplish an endless list of tasks. So say no to low-priority items. You know, if it sounds like it's, you know, it's an exciting project and you really want to be part of it, fine. But, you know, sometimes, especially with us moms, you know, the school call and they want you to do this and volunteer that. And, again, you got to ask yourself, is this really going to be a big difference in my child's life? Is doing this really going to help me accomplish the goals that I've set for myself and my family? And if not, then you need to say, no, thank you, I already have another commitment. It's really that simple. No, thank you, I already have another commitment. So, you know, these are some of the things that I have implemented into my life and that have really made a difference in how I've accomplished and how I've grown. And again, it keeps me much happier because I'm less stressed out. So I hope that some of these things, maybe there's some new ideas that you've gotten from our call today. I hope so. And I hope that you implement some of these ideas because they really have made a big difference in my life. And I think that it will make a big difference in your life as well. So with that, I'm going to end our call for this evening. And if you have any questions or comments, and as always, if we can be of any help, you know, email me, feel free to call me. We're here for you, for each and every one of you. So have a great month and a happy 4th of July. Thanks for listening in. Bye-bye.